today on Real Radio.
What you believe defines you. That's the most simplest way of announcing your worldview. What you believe defines you. What you believe governs your life. What you believe dictates how you act. What you believe dictates your future.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Now, one of the most defining aspects of a believer is, quite frankly, what we believe and how what we believe affects our view of the world. A worldview is how we see the world around us. And as Christians, it's vital that we spend time on this topic because what you believe, it really does define you. It governs your life. It dictates how you act and dictates your future. What you believe really does matter. Pastor Jack is about to take us through some common worldview issues and help us see them through the lens of the Bible. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. It's a message called, What You Believe Defines You.
The term worldview has gotten very popular in the last 5 to 8 years because it has made its way into the Christian church as it should. Frankly, it never should have left. But it's made its way prominent in the Christian church today because America has been slipping rapidly into a post-Christian or as a post-Christian nation. And so you'll hear a lot more talk. And in fact, many of you who are on college campuses or high school campuses, you've already heard much about the word worldview. And I'll define what that means in a moment, but we are treading upon very, very unstable territory. And here's the reason why. You and I are going to be wading into topics and into words that for those of us who are a little bit older, we have a different meaning. And I'm not saying this to be funny and I'm not saying this to be disrespectful. But when you look, listen, when you look to the meaning of words, the young generation has been completely duped into believing that a new or a revised version of the old word is the most accurate, and it's the exact opposite. We know this in sciences. If you want to find out where the universe is going, you know, we are in an expanding universe. It's growing right now, you know. Even though it's losing energy, and in a sense, the universe is dying, the sun is dying, it's still expanding. How do we know that? Because you study the past to figure out where you are at this moment, and you are able to calculate where you're going. Whatever you want to know for sure, you've got to go back to the most ancient times. This is pure science. To know the future, you must first honestly be someone who studies the past. You need to be a historian to know where you're going. Isn't that interesting? A lot of young people, look, we were all once young people. We didn't care about history because, frankly, we didn't care where we were going. But once you do care about where you're going, you then find out that you have a hidden love for history. A lot of Christians, I meet a lot of Christians who never finished ever reading a book until they became a Christian. I meet Christians who never cared about their roots until they became a believer. Well, listen, if you want to know about your present and where your future's going, you want to be, for example, an archaeologist. I was recently, a week and a half ago, I was at the London Museum, and I went to the Biblical Studies location, which you can spend days at the British Museum. There's more biblical artifacts in that one spot than any place in the world. And it's amazing. But all these things that are there, you must know the past. And regarding the words that we're going to be using, listen, everybody, we are going to go to the sources of those words. For example, today the word tolerance means something completely different than the application, definition, and usage of the word tolerance when the word was originated. Doesn't mean the same word anymore. Who's correct? The most ancient is the most correct. But our modern day culture doesn't think like that. When we talk about worldview, we're talking about how you see things as a Christian, and maybe you're not a Christian tonight. You still have a worldview. It's very important you understand that. But listen, this worldview, this outlook is the way that you see or perceive the world around you. A worldview is something that every individual has. It's how you see the world around you. And as Christians, it is vital that we spend time on this topic because your worldview is affected by your Christianity. It's affected by your life's exposure, how you were brought up. In fact, I'm curious. We are a people, we are genetically prepared. We have a DNA predisposition that's been determined by God. But what's amazing is that you and I have the ability, every one of us have the ability to be recipients, like a sponge of external input. That's what a family's all about. A child is brought into the world with his or her mom and dad's eyes or nose or ears or pigment of skin or a variation. That is written in the code. But also written in the code of that little human being is the ability to take of its environment around it, and it is assimilated into what makes the personality of that child all the way through into adulthood and old age. We also have this thing that has been coined learned response behavior, that how you see things and things that are brought into your life shape the way that you process information. And then Jesus comes into your life and upsets the whole cart and turns your world that was, in my opinion, upside down. Jesus turns your world right side up. And for the first time, you experience a radical, what they say is a paradigm shift in the way that you think. Christians think different under the possession of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to apologize for that. Listen, it's one of the truths that we know that we're Christians, is that we think different. I read recently where somebody said that there's many worldviews out there. There are many worldviews. There's as many worldviews as there are people. But this person really had an axe to grind because they said, but it's those Christians and their biblical worldview that think they're right. Well, wait a minute. We do not think we're right because of our biblical worldview. There is a revealed biblical worldview, and we have acquiesced or signed up to it. The Bible's not correct because it's on our side. We are correct because we are on its side. The argument is not with our view. The argument is with the view of the Bible. And so when we approach these studies that are coming up, we're going to have a great time. We're going to be looking at the Christian and euthanasia, the Christian and global warming or the environment. You say, why are we going to talk about this stuff? Because listen, these issues are being talked about in the culture around us, on the college campuses in which we live. Our kids are being taught this stuff without God or a biblical worldview. It is a humanistic worldview taking realities or perceived realities around our life and, shaping it to a secular humanistic opinion, so that our kids grow up or our culture grows up forgetting God. Plus, worldview is an awesome battleground. And let's be honest, every human will have their worldview, but there's only one that's correct. Isn't that an incredible thing to say? What a narrow-minded nincompoop that guy is. It's not me. The Lord, He is God. And you might say tonight, let's start this out right. Let's not say that we even believe in God, okay? This is great. This is where we're going to lay the foundation tonight. I want to start it out this way. As we look at our study tonight in the opening throes of the Worldview series, we're going to be looking at what you believe defines you. I just want you to write that down at the top of your page. What you believe defines you. That's the most simplest way of announcing your worldview. What you believe defines you. What you believe governs your life. What you believe dictates how you act. What you believe dictates your future. What you believe matters. We're going to be looking at this in detail tonight. Listen, a real practical example is this. You take two people who approach something seemingly straightforward, right into the heart of the issue, such as, for example, abortion. And two people approaching the same topic will have a conclusion of opposite opinions. Why does that happen? How can that happen? Because each of them have been shaped and molded by a worldview perspective. Our goal in this series is for us to receive and to embrace a biblical worldview. And understanding your worldview is all important to your life. You will be surprised, maybe even shocked, to find out how important it is and how it is a nucleus to your moral code, how you live your morality, and many other beliefs that you have. Knowing and understanding your worldview helps you understand and define who you are and makes choices in your life. Your worldview is all important. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." That word thinks, by the way, is a very interesting word. It's this in Hebrew. "For as he calculates secretly in the recesses of his mind," that is in his heart, in his being, "so is he." The word implies that every human being is calculating, thinking, has a pattern. Church, listen tonight. Every human being has got a pattern, a way of thinking as to how this or that will come out for their or in their interest. The Bible anticipates that, says so. So we're going to be finding out how and why there's a battle regarding this issue of worldview in your mind and your opinions and your actions, and in many cases, ultimately, power or money. And your worldview causes an effect. Based upon what you believe and how you see the world, it will result in you coming to the foundational structure for everything else that goes on in your life. It's absolutely fascinating how you approach issues of life. To get things started off with a bang, and we ought to do this anyway, is Genesis chapter 1. Mark it down in your notes or turn there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is the most profound verse or chapter verse in the Bible, in my opinion, for this reason. When we talk about having faith, Genesis 1:1 is it. If you can get past Genesis 1:1, everything else is easy. And yet you say, "Oh, that's such a hurdle. Who can get past it?" It's not so hard. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's the opening declaration of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. And so as a worldview class, we want to ask this critical type questioning. In the beginning, was there a beginning? Is there any evidence of a beginning? God created. Is there evidence of creation? Creation would imply that there's design, that there's a purpose, that there's balance, that there's meaning. The heavens and the earth. Is there evidence that they had a starting point? Then God saw everything that, look at, now we're advancing over to verse 31 of chapter 1. Then God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was what, class? Very good. God says in creation, it was very good. So we begin from the very, very start of time itself that God created. Again, you may be here tonight saying, "I don't believe in God." That's okay. That's what, you're safe here tonight. Don't worry about that. We will argue and debate. You're going to be able, and the church is going to set this up because I don't know how it's done, but you're going to be able to text or email questions. You're going to have to limit your characters to a certain amount, but you'll be able to ask a question, and we'll get those. And then we'll have periodic Sunday nights where we'll have our Worldview Series Sunday night Q&A, and we'll have a great time together. I'm not saying that I'm going to answer all your questions. I may not be able to. But we'll be able to find the answers, or we'll get back to you about them. But we'll have a great time to interact that way. It's that important. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. We'll read the the verse here, and then more of it in a moment, Acts 17:28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being," says the Bible. The Bible says immediately that God is created. So there should be evidence about that claim. Number two, the Bible tells us that it's in him, in God, technically Christ, that we live and move and have our being. That word implies that the human being was engineered, created by God. And I know this sounds silly because we've all heard it 1,000 times, but it is true. That every human being has a God-shaped hole in their life that only he can fill. And we'll develop this more and more in our series together. But we're going to be journeying through some amazingly contemporary issues of our day. And we'll do it in light of the Bible. And we'll do it in light of other worldviews. But we hope that we'll come, and I trust that we will, to develop and nurture and defend our biblical worldview. So Acts chapter 17, follow along with me now in verse 1. You're going to see Paul the Apostle encounter his worldview challenge. And by the way, when you read this with me, this is what I'm praying for you. That you would have your Athens experience. Verse 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, then Paul, as was his custom, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths, that's 3 weeks, reasoned," the word in Greek is challenged them from the scriptures. Verse 3, "explaining," that word means unlocking or opening up the door, "and demonstrating," that word means to set in front of the hearers, the listeners, he demonstrated, set in front of them the argument, the facts, that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Keep your finger right there. We're going to go down to verse 15 in a second. Again, no apologies. He states it. "Christian, what you believe, you must know." Why? Because it is all powerful. The Bible never apologizes for its declarations. Why? Because it is absolute truth. And therein is a problem in our worldview argument. The word absolute. There are those who, in the worldview, hold that there are no absolutes. You can make the rules up as you go along. After all, this is part of the joy and benefit of being a product or a byproduct of the evolutionary process. We get to make it up as we go. And that's a luxury that they have. But the Bible teaches something completely different. This is the fun thing about being a believer. You and I as Christians stand in direct opposition to the view of the world. And we do not, listen, church, do not back down from that. Don't apologize. Don't do that anymore. Oh, I hope you get big muscles in this series. That we bump you up in faith. That you confront the world around you simply by standing for what you believe. No more silence. No more being quiet. No more being timid. Because we have no reason to be. Verse 15, Acts chapter 17. "So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens and received a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed. And they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked," the word is exasperated. He was brought to the brink of frustration within him, that is within himself, when he saw that the city was given over to idols. "Therefore he reasoned," that's that word again, "challenged them in the synagogues with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there." Did you hear that? Paul was on the hunt for souls. He was not going to let this paganism go unchallenged. Oh, dear God, may you bless this body of believers with a spirit that they will not let paganism go unchallenged. Paganism makes a big noise and a big shout and a big yell, but it's got no feet. And if it does have feet, it's made of clay. When they come arguing their case, they don't have a foot to stand on. Verse 18, then certain Epicureans, these are pleasure seekers, and Stoic philosophers, these are party poopers, encountered him. Don't you love that? May the world encounter us. And some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of some foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That is our age today. Then Paul, hallelujah, stood up in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Is not California very religious? Yes. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he is made from one blood. Ooh, did you know this is scientifically accurate? This is absolutely true in the study of DNA and hematology. That he is made from all one blood, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries of their dwelling. God has put it in the hearts of men to establish borders, even though our governor doesn't think so. Isn't it amazing? God made borders for nations and put people in them. Isn't that cool? Does that challenge your worldview? I'm sorry, did I upset you? Get used to it. It's going to be a fun series. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What You Believe Defines You, a study on looking at worldview issues through a biblical lens. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series, the series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We just ended a series called You Need to Know. We want to let you know that we're presenting to you a special offer, and that's this. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series on MP3 CD. I'll say that again for you. We'll send you the entire series called You Need to Know by Pastor Jack on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. It's called You Need to Know. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer, write to us, include your gift, and ask for it by name. You Need to Know. It's on MP3 CD. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.